Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Getting Skintimate with Faceplant Aesthetics. My name is Lauren, and today I'm sharing some of the skin sins I've made. So when we talk about skin sins, what I mean is just things you're not supposed to do on the skin that, you know, you've done. And we've all been there, even estheticians. Majority of us have done things for our skin that are not good for it, which is why we have firsthand experience and can educate you on the reasons why there are skin sins and why they can harm the skin, what they can do on the skin as far as adverse reactions and whatnot. So we're gonna get into it. So first and foremost, probably one of the skin sins I did for the longest amount of time, because I've always been into skincare. I've always loved playing around with skincare. The skin in general has always fascinated me. Even as a little kid, I would get into the kitchen cabinets at my home growing up and, you know, make all sorts of concoctions using literally stuff and like spices, fruits, vegetables, whatever, from the cabinets, from the fridge and whatnot. And definitely not good to do. There's a reason why ingredients need to go through certain formulation processes, because putting them directly on the skin can be way more harmful than do any good for you. For example, I would put straight up lemon juice on my skin. And that, I did that for years, and I didn't do it all the time. It was just like when I wanted to do little, you know, at home spa night for myself as a little girl, or even like as a teenager, honestly, I would do that too, especially once I got into Pinterest. You know, I even think now sometimes it pops up on my Pinterest feed from time to time, but especially when I was like, you know, early teens, mid teens, Pinterest, like it was just hoarded and flooded with DIY skincare for acne, DIY skincare for hydration, things like that. And I was a sucker for those Pinterest posts. I would even some days, some nights especially, make multiple of those Pinterest masks and use them all in the same night on myself. I would be beet red, like so bad. I'd be beet red. I would have stinging on the skin. I would get tight. I would get irritated. I even would get tiny little bumps and whatnot. So definitely not good for the skin, not only to be doing DIY skincare, because again, certain ingredients, whatnot, need to go through certain formulation processes, but doing multiple at once, like what was I thinking? So that is a huge skin sin I did for years and years and years. And from time to time, I just think back on it. I'm like, I know that's kind of where my drive and my love for, you know, skin and skincare first started. But what was I doing? So that's one of the things. The next thing, skin sin wise, that I would do, and this was mainly actually in my later teens, early 20s, when I had my acne, was I was the biggest, most compulsive picker. So when I have clients come in and they're like, when I ask them, oh, are you like, have you had a history of skin picking, whatnot, when I do their consult, and they're like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I've been there. I've been a skin picker. And even, you know, from time to time, even then, sometimes I might slip up and pick at one that I shouldn't or whatever. But so with my acne journey in particular, I really started developing acne at like 17, 18 years old after I got off birth control. I was on the birth control pill since I was like 14. I honestly don't even know why I got on it, because I didn't have acne. I didn't have hormone problems. So I don't know why I was on the pill. Mom, if you're listening, enlighten me. But I was on it for a few years, and my acne developed, like I said, in my late teens. I had acne from about 17, 18 years old until I was 24 years old, and I'm 27 now. So this is only kind of somewhat recent that I've been like, quote unquote, clear, because you don't get 100% clear. Acne isn't cured. It's managed, right? So, but as we all know, when we have skin conditions, especially something like acne, you know, it not only is something that we tend to deal with on the surface, on the physical side, you know, we're popping up with a new acne lesion every day or whatever it is, but it affects us mentally so hard. And, you know, if we're going through other things in our lives, like school, job stuff, whatever it may be, and we're stressed out, we kind of fidget with our hands. And often, especially for us acne prone people, fidgeting with our hands, we tend to like scratch our face or pick at our face and pop the pimples and whatnot. And, you know, I have an episode on the podcast a few weeks back, if you want to listen to it, that goes more in depth onto why popping your own pimples is not a good thing. Do not do it at home. Please don't, especially if you're not a licensed professional. And even then, I think professionals should get extractions done by other professionals, just with the angles and everything, just to have it properly done for the most part. But yeah, I was a compulsive picker, and it definitely prolonged my healing process. Like I said, I dealt with my acne. I had both non-inflamed and inflamed acne. It was all over, and I dealt with it for like 6-ish, 7 years, something like that. And I know for a fact, if I had just not picked up my skin, while I was probably still going to be a longer acne healer and still have to have been more patient, I don't think I would have had dealt with my acne for as long as I did. So don't pick your skin. Like, I've been there. I get it. I understand why mentally you might do it, but in the long haul, you're doing way worse for your skin than good. So just don't do it. Okay. Next skin sin I have made is I have used, like, again, I've been into skincare. Pretty much everybody at one point gets into like doing all the face masks they can get from Target, like the little sheet ones, or from Sephora, or things I see on TikTok, or Lush. Like, I loved Lush, especially when I first started getting acne. I think it was a nurse at my doctor's office when I was like 17, 18 years old, who was like, oh, you need to try the Mask of Magnanimity, I think is what it was called at Lush. And she's like, that's the only thing that's going to cure your acne. I was like, oh, okay. No, like I said, certain ingredients, first of all, need to go through certain formulation processes. Certain ingredients just aren't good for your skin in general. Skincare should be customized to your skin. So what does work for one person doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for another. So learn my lesson there. Because I definitely had some adverse reactions. I would get like really, really hot skinned. My cheeks would get really red and kind of like veiny looking. I would get like tiny histamine bumps. Just not good. Just go see a professional, basically. Like, for sure. another skin sin I've made, and this is kind of a big one, I would buy into whatever skinfluencer on social media would suggest for my skin, even before I had acne. You know, it was YouTube at first. All these YouTubers, you know, they're like, oh, I use this mask from Lush, for example. That's another reason why I got into Lush products. I only recommend them for their bath products now, but I would follow like what the YouTubers were saying. I tried the Clean and Clear. I was obsessed with St. Ives. I would try the Morning Burst product that has those little micro beads. I tried so many different things. Okay. And then, during my acne, journey, you know, TikTok became huge. And we all, if we've been on TikTok, especially during quarantine, we all probably had heard of Skincare by Hyram. I was like, yes, this guy knows what he's talking about. Like, I'm going to go to Ulta right now. I was living in Oklahoma at the time. My husband was doing summer sales. I was like, I'm going to go to Ulta and buy like the CeraVe, the La Roche-Posay, the Ordinary products that this guy is talking about, because he knows what he's talking about. Spoiler alert, he does not. Something to know about skinfluencers and influencers on social media and whatnot. They know what works for their skin. They can do all the research they want, but until they've played around, been licensed, been truly educated, have gone through the certification processes, have had time and time again experiences with different skin types, they truly do not know what works best for each person's skin. you can have two people with dry skin and they will need most likely two separate, completely different skincare regimens. But like I said, I bought into it. I went to Ulta. I think I spent almost like $100-ish, maybe $150, something like that, on like everything this guy was talking about. I bought like the Ordinary, the peel solution, like the purpley red one. Burnt my face. Don't recommend that. I did the Ordinary niacinamide. I did so much and none of it worked for my skin. So that's another skin sin I made, was I would just like listen to whoever, you know, basically had a big following on social media said. And here's something, let's get into a little bit, a little spiel on skinfluencers. If you truly, truly were passionate about the skin and wanted to help people, you would go to esthetician school and get licensed. You can do all the research in the world, like, you know, this influencer had done and continues to do. So he says, you can do all like the research in the world. You as a client can go do all the research in the world that you want on the internet. But first of all, the internet has conflicting information, first of all. But until you've gone through the process, until you've had the proper education, until you've been able to touch and analyze and look in person at each skin type, skin condition, see it in person, work with it time and time again, you should not be giving skin advice. Like, if you are really passionate about skincare, go get licensed. Something, speaking on influencers, that I commend, let's talk about Patrick Starr, if you know who that is. Patrick Starr is a popular makeup artist on YouTube. He's on TikTok, Instagram, whatnot. He has his makeup line, One Size at Sephora. I'm guessing he's probably wanting to get more into skincare because he went to esthetician school. And while, you know, if he goes, him going to having gone to esthetician school and getting that licensure, if it is just so he can come out with his skincare line, I might be iffy about it, but I will give him the benefit of the doubt, look more into it, because obviously he cares, because he went to the school to get that licensure, to have that credibility, to have that knowledge. And, you know, I give him just extra points over other skinfluencers just for that alone. Because again, if you are truly passionate, you're going to go get licensed. You're going to go get properly educated. That is what I did. Like, I could have just gone on TikTok and started posting stuff that I was researching, because I've been into skin, like I said, since I was a little girl. But I didn't. I literally decided to go to esthetician school. So yeah, that's my little spiel on that. Don't listen to a skinfluencer. They only know what really works best for their skin. Even then, it's kind of iffy. And they've done their research online, you know, maybe read a couple books, but until they've had the, you know, months long, year long, however long licensure certification process, don't trust them, basically. That's what I wanted to say on that. Huge skin sin I made. And this is because my husband and I were not making a ton of money for the first few years of our marriage. We, for the most part, like, I was online teaching. I taught Chinese students online English. We were living off of like $1,200 to $1,500-ish a month. And that was including to pay for rent, aside from when he did summer sales and our rent was like covered. But that money went to pay for things, you know, like car loans and school fees, because he was still in school at the time and whatnot. So we did not have a ton of money. We were living off of not much each month. So I was like, well, I don't want to, you know, go see an esthetician. You know, first of all, I had had bad experiences with four different derms, and I was just like, I don't want to go see an esthetician because I know they're going to tell me to get these products. And I had looked into brands like Face Reality. I was like, and that's just not in my budget right now. I need the $5 products. Again, should have just gone to an esthetician to begin with, because I spent, at this point, I'd spent 4-ish years just trying it all, going to derms, trying the skincare, from Sephora, trying the skincare from Ulta, trying the skincare the influencer said, whatever it may have been. And then when I finally just literally called an esthetician when I was living in Bakersfield, California for my husband for summer sales and was like, listen, I've heard about this Face Reality brand. I want to do a virtual appointment and just get on some products. She wouldn't give me any actives. I'm allergic to benzoyl, so I couldn't do acne med. And she was like, well, we have to test you for mandelic. And because you're not here, I'm not going to give it to you. But she just got me on a basic routine. And that alone with the Face Reality products, it made wonders with my skin and cleared it so much, which is part of why I knew immediately I was going to bring Face Reality on when I started my own business. So do yourself a favor. In the long run, you are saving yourself more money when you go to a professional that you can trust, an esthetician that you can trust, a licensed esthetician too. And, you know, in the long haul, you are saving yourself money, because if you're playing the guessing game, if you're trying a billion different things because, you know, somebody suggested something to you that, again, doesn't have the knowledge, the certification, whatever it may be, or you saw something online, again, you just need to consult with a professional. Just do it. Learn from my mistakes. All right. Other skin sins I made. Guys, I am from Southern California and I loved tanning at the beach. Hours every day in the summer. There was a summer where I lived in the Dominican Republic teaching English. We would be at the beach on our days off all day. And I have pictures. I'm orange from being so tan. My skin is destroyed. I've worked on my pigment a ton, especially because I got a lot of pigmentation post acne. And while I even have clients who are like, what pigmentation are you talking about? Girl, put me under a UV lamp. I have a woods lamp. I will show you under the woods lamp. I have so much pigment, so much sun damage underneath my skin, even now, that I'm still working on. So don't tan. Use self-tanner or just be pale like me, okay? In the long run, trust me, you'll be grateful. When you're 50 looking like you're 30, you will be thankful. Okay. Likewise, I actually did try tanning booths a couple times when I was about 19, 20 years old for my acne. And just because, you know, I had heard it's good for mental health, and my gym at the time offered tanning with the premium membership and all that jazz. So I did it. Shouldn't have done it. I only did it a couple times, but literally I think it was like the third time I went to a tanning booth, I literally came out after the 20 minutes because they gave you that limit, and I was like burnt. So don't do it, especially like if you are using actives in your skincare routine, especially if you're not being directed by a professional how to use your actives. Because I'm pretty sure that was shortly after I had used some sort of product on my skin, and that's why I got a little bit of a reaction and like a little bit of a burn. So don't recommend it. Don't do it. Don't tan, whether it's in the sun, a tanning booth, or a tanning bed. Just self-tan or spray tan, okay? All right. I think that's the list of skin sins I have. I know I've probably made more. I just have pregnancy brain, but those are probably some of the biggest skin sins. Also, not wearing sunscreen forever and ever and ever. Why the heck did I not ever do that? Should have done it. Sunscreen's important. Wear your SPF, please. Every single day, rain or shine, snow, whatever, wear it. Reapply every 2 to 3 hours. There's no excuses. Wear your sunscreen. Okay, yay. I think we got through that little list. But yeah, when clients come in, I will tell you the things I've done just so you can learn from my lessons, because girl, I've done it all. I promise you. I'm 27. I know I'm still young, but I've lived a life when it comes to skin. I've lived a life and a half. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Getting Skintimate. Thank you for inviting me into your lives for this episode this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you have a good rest of your week. Stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.